Blog Talk Radio.
Pass me not, we're gentle, Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while all others are at call, calling, sing out, do not pass me by, and I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing adieu, do not pass me by. Now let me at thy throne of mercy find the sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my own beneath, and I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing adieu, do not pass me by. Now thou, the spring of all my comfort, you mean more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? And I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing adieu, do not pass me by, and I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing adieu, do not pass me by. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Some of you have shown up already. My wife's on. Good to see you, Curtis White. David Callaway, good to see you back. Amen. Glad to have you. Great encourager. That I'm very inspired by. Shelter in the time of storm, then we will have a word of prayer and get to our word at hand. A shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. A secure whatever in the tide. A shelter in the time of storm, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is realize he is a shelter in the time of storm. Saved by the defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears are up, no foe but fight, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter beside us. So I know that Jesus is a Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Like I say, good evening, Jesus, everyone. This is Pastor Mike Peter with the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. We're in a collaboration with On the Dangerous Ministries out of Des Moines, Iowa. And we are also, so this is study to show myself approved Thursday night Bible class collaboration, not only for On the Dangerous, but Golgotha as well. But also, we are also broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio at this point in time. Our show, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind, with the Incarnated Christ, and we're just so excited based on the fact that we're also broadcasting in the continent of Canada, in the, Canada as well as Norway at this time, with the, along with the continental United States. And so we're just so excited about that. And we have a man that's our witness this evening, David Conley, that helped inspire me to continue to move in that direction. And we're just so thankful for that, and thankful for his ministry as well. Good to see you, Nikhil, listeners of this evening. We are just going to have a word of prayer, and if you will meet me at the 15th chapter of the book of John, the 15th chapter of the book of John. Let us go to God in prayer at this time. God, righteous Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, to you we give honor and praise today, thanking you the very best that we know how. We thank you for the love. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for just lathering us, Father, and loving us, and continue to be a protector for us, Father, even when we make mistakes. You are in spite of God. You are in spite of God. You are in spite of God. And so, Father, help us as feeble servants to learn how to love in spite of, as the example has been shown to us. Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen us when we're wrong, build us up when we're weak, and continue to correct us, to keep us on the straight and narrow. But if we fall, Father, help to prop us back up, that we will continue to rise again and learn from our mistakes. Father, we love you. We love you so much that we just have to continue to lift up holy hands, even when we don't know what we do, even when our faith gets a little withered, Father, even when we seem to be rocked a little bit, Father. We ask you to continue to help us because we seem to go through a spiritual rockers out every once in a while, sometimes every couple weeks or so, Father. It seems that there's something that doesn't ever win. The doctor seems to knock us off. It seems that we don't know which way the wind is coming, and we are not holding on to your God and changing hands. But all of a sudden, we get a little swayed and with our feet leave the ground. We're not anchored to you, Father, that we find ourselves moving in a direction we shouldn't be. Help us, Father, to hold on to your unchanging hand. And my wife, Father, says, keep our little hand in your big hand. Everything's going to be all right. You are an anchor. You are a bedrock. You are a solid rock in the midst of storm. When we're weak, that's when you get strong. That's when you show up and show out. And so, Father, we just thank you. We thank you today. Praying for this country today, Father, that's going through all kinds of turmoil. As you see the trials that are going on today, not necessarily trials, but the I call them little mini trials because they're being questioned in front of various judgment councils because they're looking to go in to become a judge or become a physician. Father, and it seems like there's some skeletons in the closet that are very dark. And they don't want them exposed. Just yesterday, we also saw that one of the icons in today's world for many years, maybe forever, that based off the fictitious character that he has, didn't change him from having to go to jail based off of the criminal crimes that he committed. And so, Father, we're praying for the victims. And we're also praying for Bill Cosby as well, Father, in a situation blind and incarcerated and 81 years old and has to serve a minimum of 3 years and a maximum of 10 years of time. Father, we just pray for his health at this time that he will understand what's taking place and that he will go forward and that you will protect him accordingly. We're praying also for the women of this world, women of this country that are now emancipated, that now feel some victory based on the fact of an ugly scenario that's taken place for years. And it's just a shame to find out that everyone ain't telling the same lie. Well, the smoke is seen to be fire, and after a while, you mess around and got caught. And so, Father, we're just praying that rehabilitation will take place, Father, that recognition will take place, that repentance will take place, that forgiveness will take place, so that folks can move ahead and move forward and grow in grace. Good to see it will come our ways today. And so, Father, I'm just praying on this at this time as we approach election time, Father, that people will understand the gravity of their vote. Understand that there are people that died before them that didn't get an opportunity to vote. And we in this country sometimes just take it so lightly that we will just get out and we will do what we need to do. Father, that you will continue to wrap us up in loving arms and continue to strengthen us when we're weak, build us up when we've been torn down, and continue to wrap us in your love. Now, as we go through the Word today, which is a lamp to our feet, it's also a light unto our path, Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen us and bless us. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. I want to say once again, good evening to you. God is a great God. He's not just a good God. They say chicken is good, but God is great. Good to see you. Brother Desmond Anderson, good to see you this evening. We're in the 15th chapter of the book of John today, and I'm going to read from verse 9 to probably around verse 17, and I want to talk to you about love, but not just any love, Christ-like. Amen, somebody? The Bible says, and I'll be reading from the Holman's Christian Standard Study Bible, you read from your translation. Bible says, as the Father has loved me. Now, this is red lettering, so we know in Bible 101 that anytime you have red lettering in your Bible, that's Jesus speaking. So, Jesus, now in a long dissertation, says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you also. What is the secularness of love? In the same manner in which he received love from his father, a parental love, a relational love, a secured love, a godly love. He says, as the Father has loved him, and we're seeing Jesus now in his incarnated sense and flesh, and he has filled love, the same of the equal manner, the same love he feels, he passes on to us. By that time, he was talking to disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. But then he makes a statement that many of us, I think, we need to underline or highlight in our Bible. Not only has Jesus loved us in the same manner that he has been loved, take two sponges and run it with water and then wring it all the water out. And then you take that sponge, the same size, same absorbency, and you put them in water, both of them, and let them absorb the water. And as you pull the sponges out of the water that's now full of water and dripping of abundant water, then we have an idea of how we too are feeling, or how Jesus is explaining the way he loves his children. It's a sponge-like love. So, it's a love that is overrunning. That I feel it and I pass it on. But even in my passing on, I don't lose any of my own. This is coming from above. So as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Then he says, remain in my love. Let's put a push pin right there. Good to see you, Brother Rangel. We need to understand some things. Dante, it's nice. Good to see you. Thank you so very much. Good to see you, Liz Porter-Reed out of Minneapolis. Thank you so very much. We need to understand some things very much so that love is a four-letter word. And sometimes we have to be careful how we use four-letter words. Free is a four-letter word. Good to see your hands, Silas Allen. Good to have you guys in class with us this evening. We're in John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17 today. We need to understand that God is love. But when we take a look at the fact that there is so many different kinds of love, this text targets specifically with laserization what type of love, specificity, that needs to be Jesus' love that we need to remain in. Now, I did a study some 15 years ago and came out with about 365 different types of love, none of them matching God's love. You know, the Bible talks about phileo, a brotherly love, where there is a love between husband and wife, as well as a love between parent and children, there's an erotic love, there's a stargating love, right? There's many types of love, friendship love. Five different elements, and that was probably a very general blanket look. Because there's racial love, there's cultural love, right? Love. But in all 365 different types that I looked at, none of them matched this love, which is a divine love, which is a heavenly love. It is an agape love. It's a love that comes from God to me. A love in spite of. It's a John 3:16 love. For God so loved the world that he did something. It caused him to move. He had so much compassion for mankind that he moved, he gave, he released from himself the very best of what he is. His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. When we say Jesus Christ, but we really need to understand that Jesus the Christ, the word D being a definite article, meaning that he is the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one. So there's no confusion. And it's pinpointed after who he is. He is God's Son. He was the Son of Man. He was God with us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit, which does not have a doctrine separate of its own. A Holy Spirit whose doctrine testifies of Christ. Amen, somebody. Brings back to remembrance the pathway that we should be on. When you have the Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Godhead, when you have the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will never lead you to wrong direction. Amen, somebody. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to stick somebody up. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to what Jesus would have for you to be. And we need to understand that. Because you know there was a TV show that was a little bit before my time, but I grew up in it. And there was a character by Flip Wilson named Geraldine. And Geraldine would always say, the devil made me do it. Anybody see that? The devil made me do it. Well, I want you to know that the devil's planted so many seeds today that he ain't got to make you do nothing. As long as you take your eyes off God, worldliness will make you do it. Geraldine just needed to blame erratic action, ungodly action on something. And when I take responsibility for herself, even though she's a fictitious character. And many of us do the same thing today. We want to hide behind juice for a situation, claim that there's been some long psychological name attached to it, or unhealthiness that the doctor will give us. Claim that our erratic behavior is clinical, but never claim that it's sinful. You can pray all you want. That law that led you there was a worldly law. Probably a pornographic love, a sinful lust of worldliness, or, you know, in the world, it's easy to say I love you and have nothing to back it up. We have to understand that what God says, he loves us. His reputation is attached to that. And when his reputation is attached to, his blessings are attached to his reputation. So that's why we say that in spite of God, that will provide for us, that has given us, could you see you, Leon Johnson, that will continue to absorb us and protect us. Amen. Amen. Good to see you, Marcy. So, in John 15, verse 9, as the Father had loved me in the same manner, there's no way you can get any more love than God's love from above. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. That's instruction that is pertinent to spiritual productivity. As long as we remain under the umbrella and we remain in the love of Jesus, then there's no way that we can commit fratricide with our brothers and sisters. Amen, somebody. Preacher, you're messing with me today. No, I'm not. I'm just telling the truth. We don't allow hate to divide us so much that we don't even like what hate looks like any longer. And we have found ourselves so wrapped up. Good to see you, Brother Gray. Amen, somebody. We have found ourselves so wrapped up in hate that and hatred. Notice, hate red. Two pair red that's been put together. Many times when we see red, we're not seeing rough. Person's eyes become bloodshot. Person's eyes turn red. That means it's tied up usually with fierceness and aggression and some kind of anger. A rage is about to take place. And if you don't control that bull, you don't control that anger, that murdering force into something positive, it's going to become volcanic and destructive and never be pleasing to God. But if we can get a hold and bottle up that energy, that instantaneously causes us to act and react, and we can pull it into something positive that causes us to act and react, we can make some vital, passionate changes in today's world with our youth, with our community, and with until our soul is vexed. And until we channel that into something constructive, God will never get glory from you setting fire to every house on the street. But if he lights a fire in you, and you tell the story of a man who came from glory, that laid his life on Calvary, saved a sinner like you and I, homeborn and died on Golgotha's cross. Love does more. We understand what love is. And protects us even when we think we got it going on. Tell the story for a love of an emotional, passionate situation where you have experienced your experiential knowledge of who Jesus is, your intimate knowledge of who God is. Nobody can change or take your testimony away. Amen, somebody. You because we serve a God that likes to get close. We serve a God that likes to get close. And until he becomes intimate with you, you're living beneath your privileges. But God's not going to force his way in. We don't serve a God that rapes us spiritually. We serve a God that if we open ourselves up and allow him in, he will change even our heart. He will get into the brain box and he will drive. He will get into the temporal nerves where the intent of decision is made before the signal is sent out to react. Then God can change our thinking. Then he can change our speaking. If he can change how we see things, change how we think about things, change how we speak about things, then God will change how we do things. And in a corporate manner, we can change this world. The question is, do you want to change the world? Do you want to keep sucking God there, thinking that he owes you something? Or do you realize that you are going with heavenly house money? God sustained you, right? And now you are redeemed the time by living the remainder of your life for him. Two different perspectives. You want to be a soul winner for Jesus. Remain in my love. See, once you understand what God's love is, you ain't going to be so quick to get outside of that. That love's like quicksand. It just, you don't want to let it go. Everywhere it's like being in a sphere of bubble gum. Everywhere you punch, you can't get out, you can't break it because it's just there. God's love encompasses us. It's north, south, east, and west, above and below, and inside of us. It gets in our prayers that we spew nothing but love. So I'm using that as a scourge. Good to see you, my friends. I'm using that as a scourge because the scourge becomes so absorbent that now what's in the scourge is taking on the weight of the scourge. And the scourge is now heavier because it's absorbed. God has now become heavier because he has absorbed our sin. But he, perfect absorbency, because he has perfect love. His love is a love that's in spite of. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. Now notice what he says in verse 10. If you keep my commandments. Now, I want to say this. It's not a question. It's a statement. The word if in this text is not a question. It's a statement. Jesus now has said, remain in this law, and he's going to give you the panacea and tell you how to do it. So, that is the word six. Which is equal to if, because it's a statement, not a question. Since you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Keep my Father's commands and remain in his love. See the circle? Christ is not giving out nothing that he's not receiving. Think about a picture. Let me see. Let's do this. I have a cup here. I don't know if I can get it high enough for you to see it. Second here. If I can do this, make an illustration here for you. Now, what is it even more? I don't know if I can. Okay. Well, let's do it this way. I'm going to pour like the Father is pouring into Jesus. But Jesus overflows and pours into. Fill it up. Now, some of you would say that is full. So as he's been filled up full, now what's been poured into him, he now pours into a smaller vessel. And it goes on and on and on. This is a generational blessing. It can also be a cultural blessing, but it's the plan of the divine that was, you cannot give out what you have not received. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't go where you've never been. And so God says, let me start with it. Let me show you what I want to do. Good to see you, Brother Kerry. And then what I want you to do is to mimic exactly what I did to you. That's why we have to rehearse. And it's the same manner as being steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Don't add or subtract what has been given to us, let us now give to others. See, the problem with Israel wasn't the Ten Commandments. The problem with Israel in the, under the Mosaic Law was about the 675 different types of laws and stuff that's been added to it to try to make up for those 10 that people now couldn't follow it or wouldn't follow it, causing contention and all kinds of issues. And so God throws Israel into Babylonian captivity. Not only Babylonian captivity, he sends them into Medo-Persian captivity. Then from there they go into Christian captivity. And then when Jesus comes on the scene, as we see in Daniel 2:44, the days of these kings, it's under the Roman Empire. And so there's a remnant. And then God tells them that John the Baptist, after 40 years, comes on the scene and tells them that the kingdom of God is at hand. We no longer have to be premillennialists and look for the kingdom. It's here. It's here. We no longer have to worry about it in its future sense because it's here. It's here. It's here. When Jesus says in Matthew 13:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom, there is connection in the kingdom and the church. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Or whatsoever you have decided to do has already been mandated. You ain't making a decision. You're just following what's already been given to you, Peter, as well as the rest of the apostles. So we understand that this love comes at a high price cost. You show God how much you love him, not by running out and making a bunch of money, but by the love you share with one another. How you give, how you extract, demonstrates to God under his guidelines, his norm, do you really love him? And I hasten to tell you today, there are many in this world today. Good to see you. Good to see you, boo. There are many in this world today that love the world more than love God. That put God on the backbone. That's not Jesus' love in this text. He must be first. If he's not driving me right, if he's not directing, then you're not following his navigation. Well, I'm just helping God out. He don't know the roads down here. I said when God was omnipresent, there is the science to make the road before we were born. So, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. Now, if or since you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. See, in order to remain in the love, that you must follow the commands of Jesus. I ain't listening to nobody. I ain't following nobody. I'm 3 times 7 and smelling myself. If you don't listen to Jesus, you won't die in your sin. Freedom comes with a cost. Somebody has to pay the price. Jesus died and paid it all. Now he wants your allegiance and your obedience. But he wants you to give it willingly, not fightingly. Remaining in God's love means that you know what love is. When you see the children ask the question, what's love got to do with it? You know that? Well, after dealing with the back half of Ike, that's what it is. Everything. Can't get out from up under that. God don't backhand us. God loves us. He wants to carefully keep us in his grip. Not a fighting love, but in spite of love. He'll fight for you. Obey his commandments. I have spoken these things to you. John chapter 15, verse 11. I've spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. See, many times we forget because we see that Jesus is a suffering servant. We forget that even in the midst of his mission, good to see you, Kathy Kendall, amen. In the midst of his mission, he still had joy. In the midst of his mission, he still had joy. His joy was following the commands of his Father and doing his will. Doing his mission mind. How's your mind today? Have you lost your mind? See, many times we like to cut up the pie. We want to give up a piece of our mind. The problem is you've been giving out so many pieces. There's only 8 pieces. You done giving out 7. You got 1 piece left, and you get ready to hand that out. Stop giving away a piece of your mind. Because you will never have the peace of God until you are at peace with God. You will never have the peace of God. This joy that he's talking about. Are you making it happy, which is a state of temporariness? The real joy can even come in the midst of tears, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain. He says, joy, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy, whose joy is it? It's God's joy. Right? So that my joy may be in you. He wants to transfer his joy and let you feel what he feels. That my joy may be in you. And your joy may be complete. You can't have perfect joy. You can't have fulfilled joy. You can't have mature joy unless you have Jesus' joy. That's a complete joy. That's a joy that keeps on giving. See, when you got Jesus' joy, then you can rejoice. The word rejoice is a two-part word, rejoice, right? Read the prefix, then let's do it again. Let's do it again, right? But when you're having the joy of Jesus, you can do it again. And you don't have to worry about what come with me. Jesus, I told you these things. I've spoken them out of my mouth. You have been witness, eyewitness to these things. The highest testimony there is, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy, I see you, Captain, rejoice, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. See, you probably didn't recognize the fact, and maybe you missed it in the text. Don't miss your shouting moment. But Jesus is concerned about what kind of joy is in you. He wants you to have the same joy he has. And until we have the same joy of God, we live beneath our privileges. Our joy is not complete. Oh, yeah, we may be able to get a little happy sometimes. You may be able to dance sometimes. You may clap your hands sometimes. You're happy and you know to clap your hands. Or you may be able to do all that, right? But you're missing in the joy of maturity. A complete joy. And in spite of joy. I don't care how bad it gets, I still rejoice. A Paul and Silas is shackled and in a prison joy. I'm not going to be concerned about my condition. I'm going to praise God and make a difference where I'm at. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. What is it, Jesus? Jesus is making it crystal clear and making it very elementary to us. It's elementary, my dear Watson. He says, this is my command. Love one another. That's four-letter word. Be careful how you use four-letter words. Love one another as I have loved you. When I said 365 love, I stayed. None of the next guy's love. His love's a love in spite of an agape love. I love your enemy love. We have to love each other. One another in the same manner Jesus loved his disciples. That's our example. In the same manner that he died, not only for them, for all of us who have a right to the tree of life. Love one another as I have loved you. Call in on 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. That's our blog talk line. I'll be there in a minute, and you'll be able to talk. We'll be able to have some conversation. And you can talk about this love that you have, this rejoicing that you have. 619-924-0767. God says, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you. Are you concerned about God's joy? God's love is wrapped up in his joy. God gets gratification out of taking care of his children. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you. God wants to implant. He wants to seed. Right? He wants us to stay remaining there. So that what's in there will come out of you. That's harvest time. So in this text, there's seed time and harvest. God's going to let me plant. I want it to remain that it may come up in harvest. will continue to have more. That's how we can live the abundant life, the life of abundance. This is not command. It's not optional, God says. It's not, well, do it if I want, not if I don't want. It's not something that you don't do on Mondays, and it's something I do on Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday. No, this is 365, 24/7. If God wants you, this is the command. Love one another as I have loved you. No love has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Well, some people won't even stand up for you. There's no greater friend, there's no greater love than this when somebody's willing to die for you. Who are you willing to die for? Make your list of probably your parents. Your parents, probably your children. So it's a short list, isn't it? You may have one or two friends on there. But you know, when the instance come up, you're make a determination then. There's no option in here. There's no gray area here. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus took a bullet for you. Jesus took a spear for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. And then he tells him, makes it crystal clear. Not only has he told him how it's done, he says, you are my commander. Circular. Not only is his love, not only is his love wrapped up in his joy, not only is what he is extracting is based on what he's receiving from his Father, and he's giving it to his disciples. Not only that, he says, our friendship, our relationship, our ability to bond together is based on the fact that I'm going to die. And there's no greater task in the world than mine. He said, now how do you reciprocate? Can I die for Jesus? The way you do that is this. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus is done. Now it's our turn to do. He's running his race past the baton. He's seeing to see where we run the race and give it back. It's based off of commandment. And obedience. That's why obedience is better than sacrifice. I do not call you slaves anymore, bond servants anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've eliminated the ignorance to why I'm here. I brought you into the intimate details as to why I'm here. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. I've held nothing back to you as to why I'm here and why my mission is here. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In hard times, thank you, Jesus. I appointed you, thank you, Jesus, that you should go out and produce fruit. Means that we go out and produce weeds, don't we? Go out and produce fruit. So, and that you ask the Father in my name. Prayer in the name of Jesus. He will give you, this is what I command you, love one another. As I'm getting ready to go to my seat, close this lesson out for you. What type of love do you have? Before you go to bed this evening, do me a favor and get you a piece of paper. Get your life piece if you like, or you get your postcard if you like. And on one side, write on that card who you would die for. And then on the other side of the card, write on who would die for you. And then you pray based off your answers to God the Father. The question to all of us today is, how deep is your love? Christ-like love, Christian love means I'm Christ-like, right? So Christian's love, Christian love, a relationship love, a divine love, a Holy Spirit love, Holy Spirit guided love, right? Christ-like love, the same love that Jesus received from his Father, the same love he gave to his apostles, the same love that we receive as children of God. How deep is your love? And it's not based off what you say out your mouth, based off how you show to others. Can God count on you today to love your neighbor as yourself? Can God count on us today to love one another as he has loved us? Mimicking, backbiting, committing spiritual fratricide and physical fratricide? And will you pick up the banner of love and with the paintbrush of love and spread it to no end? And when all the paint comes out the brush, dip it in again in the blood of Jesus and paint some more. There will always be blood to paint with if you remain in Jesus' blood. If you're here today and you are a little short on love, all you have to do is quick dose of repentance. If you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sin, you must hear God's word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, which is what you heard tonight. Do you believe it? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you coming to God? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:32. Take his yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly. You shall find rest for yourself. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You've heard. You believe. Will you repent? Luke 13:3-5. Except you repent, you are likewise perish. Will you turn to God rather than keep doing 360s and getting dizzy and turning away from God? Will you confess the sweetest name off a mortal's tongue? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, he that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he that denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And will you be baptized in the water of the baptism for the remission of your sin? You can't be prayed on. You can't be christened, right? Can't be sprinkled, and you can't be dry cleaned. You have to be fully immersed in water, coming up in that burial to rise to the new creation in Christ. Acts 2:38. Right? Mark 16:15-16. Romans 6, 3-4. Know you not this one here that have been baptized? Have been baptized into Christ's death. Therefore, we are what? Buried with them in baptism. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in the newness of life. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same resurrection power that can change your life today. Then you must remain in his love. Remain faithful unto death to receive a crown that David not afford. Brother Preacher, I'm so glad you shared that with me. Now, what if I've already obeyed the gospel of Christ, but I've kind of went errant? All you need is a good dose of repentance. If you're sure that you have a scriptural baptism, you didn't just get wet. We can talk about that if you like. Because the child of God wants to make sure their election's sure. And they're not going to stop at the baptistry arguing when all you need to do is be immersed in water for the remission of your sin. To wipe away that old life, to start anew. Oh, you know, some people don't like a second chance. We serve a God of another chance. Well, repentance does the same thing for us. You just repent. Ask God's forgiveness to wipe the slate clean. Throw it into a sea of forgetfulness, never to remember again. And on the day of judgment, we'll never bring it back up. That's not worthiness. Our forgiveness and our forgivery do not connect together. They're not synchronized. We'll bring up stuff in 10 years later. I need it way back when, and it's not in there with Johnny. Give Jesus your all. Show him how much you love him. God is love. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no one. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no one. Jesus is the way. Check your love and see, is it a Christ-like love? Have a great evening. Do something for somebody that can't repay you for giving Jesus Christ and then crucify. Before we leave, I want you again, if you want to call in, 619-924-0767. I want to go to the line at this time because I see my wife now. I would like to have a comment from her. How you doing, dear?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. That's a powerful lesson. That was a powerful lesson. I thank you for that lesson. The lesson of love, the lesson of Jesus' love for all mankind, for us, what he did for us, and the blessing that we have to have received that type of love, peace, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love for us is unimaginable. And we're thankful to obey his commandments so that we can be full of joy.
Yes.
And when times are hard, you brought out how Christ said, I chose you. Hold on to God. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Stay close to God. Stay close to the cross and just put our little hands in God's big hands and just love, because he loves us. He loves us. He gave us his son. And our walk in life gives God the glory and our speech and everything. Father, I'm just so thankful right now. I'm just so thankful for the lesson. I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. It shows value, doesn't it? God chose us. Even though people don't want you to know, your manager may not want you to know how valuable you are to them because they know you're going to ask for a raise. God ain't got no problem blessing you more. Just show him how much you love him. And he chose us, like you pointed out. We didn't choose him. He chose us. When everybody else thumbs you down, God thumbs you up. Amen. You guys have a great evening. Let's close with a quick word of prayer. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your in spite of. And thank you for choosing us. Help us to be what you need for us to be. And help us to love in the manner that you have loved us. That we will be able to harvest joy, harvest love, and share the corn with others as you have shared with us in your Father's series. Correct us when we're wrong, build us up when we're weak, and strengthen us when we've been torn down. And as we go back into our dojo and into our time at this moment, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your love. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen, amen, and amen again. Do something that your future self is going to repay you for. Love God, for he loved you first. God bless. Have a great evening. Good night.